waves be still. You cast out demons. With the empty soul be filled. Now there's breakthrough. Now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same. Old redemption made accusers drop their stones, showed us mercy with your mighty miracles. Now there's breakthrough. Now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same.
Amen. thankful for the authority of Jesus this morning. Amen. As His sons and daughters, we can walk in boldness. Amen. As we echo that authority. You can be seated this morning. So glad you take time to join us. Whether you're watching online or you're here in person, we're glad you took time to join us in the house of God. We would love to connect with you. If you're watching online, we have a bit.ly link that you can just fill out a few points of information. Please fill that out. If you're here in person, we have a connection card. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. They're right at the welcome kiosk just outside those doors. If you just fill it out, turn it into one of the ushers. We have a small gift of appreciation. Thank you for taking the time to join us in worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Truly, there's nobody like Jesus. He's our Savior, our Redeemer, our closest friend. And no matter what we went through this week, whether it be at work or our family, our job, God is here to minister to your needs. He's here with arms wide open to reach out, and we're thankful that you came to reach to Him as well. Before we go any further in the service, the month of March, we're having a special offering for Save Our Children. We want you to hear a little bit more about that offering at this time.
There is a window. A window you might like to know about. Not the kind that lets you look at the sky. It's a window that opens up inside a child's heart. A window of time. Because over 70% of all decisions for Christ happen during a very precise window, from ages 4 to 14. And those who accept Jesus during this window are more likely to keep the faith. But that's not surprising, is it? Even Jesus said, "Unless you become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So here's a great question. If 70% of all decisions for Christ happen during the 4 to 14 window, why does the average church focus only 3% of its resources there? Remember when the children came to Jesus? His disciples said, "Don't bother the teacher." The disciples looked down, but Jesus knelt down and saw open windows. Open hearts, open minds in need of His love. And He said, "Let the little children come to Me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." In fact, God saw the full potential of children over and over in Scripture. Like David, a simple shepherd boy chosen by God to kill a giant. Samuel, a little boy called in the night to be God's prophet. Miriam, who saved her brother Moses so he could save God's people. And Jesus Himself, at age 12, revealing great wisdom to the adults in the room. Where the world sees immaturity or foolishness, God sees open windows, tender, trusting hearts, responsive to His leading. But today's children need our help. Around the world, 1 billion kids, half of all living children, suffer physical poverty. Meanwhile, children in developed nations live in spiritual poverty. Only 3% see life from a biblical perspective. But we can bring hope. 4 out of 5 kids still hunger for God, and we can help them find Him and awaken the heart of belief that God sees in them. Today, we have an amazing opportunity to bring God's love to millions of open windows. Children at home and around the world receptive to the truth. So let's give our very best. Where it counts the very most. Let's see children with the same great stature that God does. Because the best way to shine light into a dark world is through open windows. Win the heart of a child across the street or around the world while the window is still open.
Amen. It's very important that we reach our children. Amen. The older we get, the more we get set in our ways. I know no one wants to admit that, but it's important. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart from it. Over and over, the Bible teaches us the value of children. We live in a world that often does not see value in children. Having the privilege, me and my wife, to serve overseas for many years, we lived in a nation that saw children only as a consequence and a side effect of their sexual immorality. But I believe through this Save Our Children and this generation-to-generation promise that we are going and pushing for this year, we are pushing for over 1 million children to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I know that that's able, because God is able. And He said He can do more than we can think or ask. But you know what? I can't do it alone. Pastor can't do it alone. We can't do it alone with our many minutes, but it's a body working together. So back on the welcome kiosk, we have a number of giving cards ranging anywhere from $1 to $100. And I challenge you and encourage you, go back after service, pick up one of these cards, pledge to save our children, because a child really is a world changer. And understand you can have a part in changing their world and changing the world around you by making a simple sacrificial gift and offering. Amen? Can we do that? Can we see children today as Jesus sees our children? Because they are truly priceless and they are truly a gift from God. Understand, Jesus chose not to come as a full-grown adult, but he robed himself as flesh and came as a simple child. And he trusted that someone would raise him and nurture him and help provide for him until he was able to provide for himself. So let's be a body of believers together, giving to save our children. When you take one of these cards, there's three important things on the back, because it's not just about giving. There's a little blue box that says that you're going to help pray. Because the Bible says one can put 1,000, but two can put 10,000. And together as a body of believers here at Calvary Gospel Church and the United Pentecostal Church and around the world, we can see over 1 million children this year alone filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. But it's going to start with you and me praying together for God's power to be unleashed. And then it's about being involved, the little red box, because like I said before, we can't do it alone. We need people that are going to go out and knock doors, that are going to go talk to people, that are going to be simply having a smile. You know, we live in a world that simply doesn't smile enough. Sharing that smile with someone can open a door to teach a Bible study, to invite somebody to church. Amen. So let's do that. Let's get involved with however the Sunday school and the church here asks us to be involved with saving our children. And then the green boxes with giving. So take one of those cards. Let's give to save our children. Amen. And then also, if you want to give a general tithes and offerings, we have a box back on the welcome kiosk. If you're in person, you can just drop your offering in there. If you're watching online, you can give right at our website at cgcmadison.org/giving. You can send it in the mail at 5301 Commercial Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53704. I had to remember the zip code. Or you can text to give. But if you do text it, please just text what you're wanting it to go to, whether it be SOC for Save Our Children, whether it be tithes, whether it be offering, and the amount in the text. We got a lot of awesome things coming up. Next weekend is Easter. Can you believe it's here already? Amen. The important thing of what Jesus has done, coming and robing himself in flesh, giving his life. And we're going to have an awesome time next week. The theme is Never Lost. So make sure you invite someone to that. And for any of our skilled and non-skilled laborers that want to help and be a part, we're doing a fellowship renovation. And I'm going to be transparent. I was talking to my wife about this because she has something else. And I said, the men are going to get together. And she says, well, it's not just for the men. So those that want to come and be a part and help out in our fellowship renovation, it'll be April 9th through the 11th. We need volunteers to help out. We're going to be redoing the entire fellowship hall, floor area, and different things. So come and be a part. It's going to be an awesome time of fellowship and working together for the kingdom of God. And also, we have a few special speakers. On Wednesday, April 14th, we'll have missionary Marcus Brianos, I believe, a missionary to France. And Sunday, April 18th, we'll have evangelist and pastor Aaron Wright. So keep this in prayer for all the awesome things that God has in store for the month of April. If you'd stand with me, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer for this service. And for all that God has to do today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've given. Thank you for all that you prepared and promised. Thank you for the word that's going to go forth, God, for the lives that are going to be touched. Be with Brother Rossing as he preaches the word, God. Thank you that we can worship you together in your name, in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we go to worship, though, we do have a special prayer request. And the reason I didn't include it is I was talking to Bishop and we wanted to pray specifically for this, but just this week, Bishop's younger sister, Pat, passed away. So we want to keep Bishop and Pastor Grant, the entire Grant family and extended family that has been touched by this loss, we want to keep them in prayer. So once more, would you join together in prayer for Bishop and for our pastor, for the Grant family and the extended family, both here in Wisconsin and in Texas, because we know who is the giver of peace. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. God, you know Pat, you know the Grant family. God, you see the sacrifice that they've given so much to us here in Wisconsin and at this church, God. We love and appreciate our bishop and our pastor, God. We love and appreciate their family, God, and all the sacrifice that they've given. And right now, God, we ask that you minister unto them, God. Let them feel your peace. Let them feel your love, God, like never before. God, let this be an open opportunity to witness to more members of the family, God, and the community. God, thank you for all that you're going to do, God. Thank you that we can have joy and peace in you. God, thank you that we can know you and trust you and we can believe in you. Have your way in this service, and Father, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you for touching each and every person, God. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
My
Name. It's all we have to do is call out his name. You get yourself in a pickle, call on Jesus. We have the ability to do that, don't we? Praise God. If you could just stand with me for a few moments here. We had a great district conference. A lot of our pastoral staff was out this week. I want to thank the crew that Brother Thompson and Brother Peter Sandin that took care of things for us while we were gone. Thank you so very much. Also, it's great to see Kirby Waters' parents here today. Good to see both of you. God bless you. If you're a guest of ours, it is an honor to have you here today. We have a great, one of our elders is going to be speaking today. My wife and I will be speaking at Voices in African International this afternoon, and I've asked Brother Glenn Rossing if he would take and preach this morning. Brother Glenn Rossing is an awesome, incredible man of God. And he is one of our elders. He's one of those guys that he calls me every day. Every day I either get a phone call or a text message from this man saying, "What can I help you pray for today?" You need someone like that in your life. When I talk about surrounding people, putting people in your lives that matter, this is what I'm talking about. We love Glenn and Kitty Rossing and the Rossing family. God bless you, Brother Glenn. Preach to us this morning.
Let's love Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to our God. Father, you're awesome and mighty and faithful and glorious and beautiful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. These songs are very stirring. Thank you, Sister Abby, for being sensitive to God's voice. I want you to, if you have a Bible, turn to Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He that dwelleth in the secret place, any idea what he's talking about? The central focus of all the scriptures of Jesus Christ, the secret place in the Old Testament, the secret place of God was in Christ Jesus prophetically. Israel rolled their sins ahead year by year. They pushed it ahead of them. And when Jesus showed up on the scene and he at Calvary, the veil in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, ending the priesthood, revealing the King of glory in the face of Jesus Christ. He's your God, and He's your hiding place, and He's the secret place of the Most High. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I come against every power of evil and every spirit of darkness. I come against the spirit of fear. Fear, you better find someplace else to go. Today is your day of end. I'm calling it in Jesus' name. I'm coming against fear. I want you to help us, oh God, know you in the power of the Holy Ghost. Know your name and know the power connected to it. God, minister to this so great, faithful people. Minister your anointing, oh God. Help me and speak through me and help us receive your word in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, and you may be seated. I'm going to teach today. I'm not much of a preacher. You know, when you start yelling, that's preaching, I guess. But I'm just teaching. I yell a lot, but not typically up here. I'm teaching today about fighting fear. There's a spirit of fear in our world, and it's coming to church. I'm speaking today about growing your faith in God, my faith in God. I'm teaching today about using prayer as a means to an end. We got to be right with God. We're getting to the end. And I'm preaching today about healing. I need a healing, and I know some of you need a healing. So we're gonna tackle these demons and get them out of our lives. Let's talk about fear. Now, this came about because if you are paying attention all through 2020 and right up until the present day, every time the Lord spoke to Calvary Gospel Church in tongues and interpretation, He addressed the issue of fear in the church. So that caught my interest, and I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here, Lord? Why is this happening? And I started putting these thoughts down on paper quite a while ago, and a couple, three weeks ago, I was talking to Pastor about what I've been thinking about, what I was just putting my thoughts down, and then a couple days later he calls and says, will you speak about it? But I really feel that God wants us to know how to fight the issues in our lives. My title today is Overcoming Fear and Everything Else, because it's all connected. It doesn't matter what you call it. Now, we're tired of hearing about COVID, but COVID brought with it a specific spirit of fear, and it's an evil spirit. We see it all over the place, all over the world. Every night, if you look at the evening news, and I quit doing that, But every night they're promoting fear over the airwaves. And in God's eyes, debilitating fear in the hearts of His people is a matter of unbelief. If it's not dealt with, it has eternal consequences. Read Jude, the fifth verse. He says, I will therefore put you in remembrance. Remember this? We talked about this. Though you once knew this, he says, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. God doesn't want people to be destroyed. God wants people to make it. But because of unbelief, they failed. Those people, the Hebrew people coming out of Egypt, they failed because they had unbelief in their hearts. Unbelief and fear are connected. God's not the author of the pandemic fear, but He's not afraid to use this fear either. And this fear is you can cut it with a knife out there. People are deathly afraid of whatever, COVID and just the whole turmoil in our culture, everything that's going wrong in our world today. And this is prophecy. It's fulfilled right in front of our eyes. So people are sensing this and they don't know how to react to it, and they're having a spirit of fear. But the specific spirit of fear has come upon them. Now, he's using this. So God wants us to be ready for the harvest, and it's almost here. We're right close to it, real close to it. Deuteronomy 20 through 20, chapter 20, verses 1 through 8. Just read this on your own, but I'm going to read from verse 8. The officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. What's he saying? He's not willing to risk people that are faithful with a contagious and demoralizing spirit of fear that's going to cripple their efforts. He's going to take people out of the way that have fear. This is a serious issue. So if this is one of the issues you're associated with, get with the program. Get with God. Line up with God and everything that, just bring it under. These songs that we were praying today, what a confirmation of what I'm talking about today. God is great. The Bible says his greatness is unsearchable. We're the covenant people of the kingdom of God. He's aligned us with him. But some of us are failing because we're letting fear creep into our hearts. And God's not willing to risk the faithful by exposure to those who have fear. He's got a purpose for us, every one of us today. And if you're breathing God's air, you have a purpose. But fear cripples that. God's been warning us to line up with him. Hebrews 11:6, he says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You have to be part of the program. You have to connect yourself with God and diligently apply yourself to learning God's truths and principles. But he says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Do you think God's going to populate heaven with people that displease him? I don't think so. And that doesn't mean that it's not part of the church. So we need to get lined up with God. He's warning us about fear and about losing out with him. He's not doing this to condemn people, but to try to get to those that are affected by this spirit of fear to realize their peril and turn back to an always ready to forgive God. Fear is a normal human emotion, and it's described as an unpleasant, very unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation of or awareness of danger or foreboding. All people experience fear to some extent. Fear is psychological. Right between here. That's why it's a spiritual issue, because it's connected to us. We're connected to the spirit realm, whether we're conscious of it or not. Fear as well as faith can only reside in us if we give it permission to be there. They both need a host, a place to live. You can't grab faith, or fear rather, by the back of the shirt and drag him up here and send him up here and start spanking him. It doesn't work. He's not a real thing. Neither is faith. You can't bring faith up here and wrap your arms around him and say, hey, let's do something today. It's in your spirit. It's connected. It's a perception issue. It's psychological, and they both need a host. Not all fear is bad, and most of us learn the hard way to not touch a hot stove, right? My wife burns a kettle of water on our stove, or she keeps it not boiling but steaming in the winter when it's dry in the house, just to add to the moisture. And if you take that off the burner and you fry your eggs in the morning or whatever, and then the pan has time to cool off, and you set it back on there, the pan says, whoa, and it jumps. It actually jumps. The pan expands, and the bottom of the pan shoves the water right straight up in the air. And I'm like this. You learn fear. Fear is a natural part of us. It's not all fear is bad. Abnormal fears are called phobias. God designed us to be hardwired to fear the things that we perceive are going to be harmful to us. So it's a natural thing. Healthy fear is a necessary psychological mechanism. It's a defense mechanism. Before I was forced by my job in the construction industry to confront my phobia, it's called acrophobia, fear of heights, I was scared to death of heights. If you've ever walked up a metal, usually some of the buildings, like over in UW Hospital, they have metal railings that go up the side of a building, staircases, but they're metal, and the slats are vertical, and you can see through them, and you get up on top, and it's like, if you're not used to heights, it's like, wow, get me out of here. And that's how it was. I remember that vividly when I worked in with Brother Thomas's company, and it scared me being up there. But exposure to it, facing the fear, and engaging it, defeats it. It has to be overcome or at least managed. You know, I'm healthily respectful of heights. And I don't go standing like this at my uncle's farm where it's 70 feet to the ground. I kind of stay back and go like this. I still have a respect. I still have a natural defense mechanism called fear. All fear has to be overcome or at least managed. Excessive fear affects the spirit of man. You've all heard about PTSD. It has psychological effects, for long-term effects, if you don't deal with it properly or manage it improperly. So a lot of military people suffer from the things that the shocking things they see in when they engage an enemy in battle. God wants his people to be free of fear and to act as promoters of truth and light and the good news. It can't happen if we're no better off than the rest of the world. I didn't say better than, I said better off than, and we are better off. And if we're not better off because of our relationship with God, it's just another religion. You might as well pick the one closest to your house if you feel you have to go to church. And you don't have to drive so far. In 2 John, 1 chapter, verse 8, John says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. In other words, he says, guard your minds and hearts so you don't lose out with God when error prevails in the world. You're responsible to take care of your own spiritual relationship with God. It's part of what our responsibility is. God has no kind of magic wand, you know. When you get the Holy Ghost, it's not an automatic out from what's happening in the world. So it's a choice we have to make. How do you overcome debilitating fear or counsel people suffering from it? And how should we approach the uncertain, very much worsening and soon to get much worse environment that we find ourselves living in? The obvious answer to that is to turn to God. If you have a covenant relationship with God, that should be an automatic. You should be right now turn to God. In the King James Version of the Bible, the various words that we might use to describe the any aspect of fear occurs 642 times. That's a lot. That's a lot of references to fear. God knows it's going on. And all of us experience fear. When I worked for Brother Thomas, I worked in Milwaukee for a while, and he had this old blue Chevy pickup truck, a work truck, and that was a slam, by the way. But I went down there one day, and it had snowed, a real light snowfall overnight, and early in the morning, trying to get there by 7 o'clock in the morning. And when you drive on, when there's any kind of traffic, you know, they splash water up. Well, I found out that his windshield wiper washer wasn't working too well. So the farther I went, the worse it got. I turned the wiper on and it just smeared it. I was petrified. I could not see out the windshield. And I leaned down because sometimes when you're driving, the wind carries the most of the junk up over the top, but it hits your windshield where you see. But there's a clear space at the bottom. That was hardly there. I got less than 15 feet away from a semi, and I don't know, we're cruising down there in Milwaukee. They don't slow down for nothing, except when they do, it's like right now. So I was terrorized. I could not see. If I get close to this truck, maybe the road spray will help me wash this junk off. It just got worse. I was calling Jesus' name. I need your help. I need your help right now. Help me, oh God. And I don't know how I did it. I don't remember the details, but I know that I just took the plunge and I pulled off the side of the road and I hauled on the brakes and pulled up in a safe place. And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. But I was just petrified. It was terrible. Fear is a natural thing. Joshua 1:9, he said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And this principle applies to us today more than it did to Joshua, because we're the end product of what the whole Old Testament led the Hebrew people to achieve, being filled with the Holy Ghost. We have God's Holy Spirit living inside of our hearts. There's a package that comes with it called the fruit of the Spirit. Peace is one of those. There's a principal part of the fruit of the nine fruit of the Spirit. So we have the Old Testament. We have the covenant relationship with God that the Old Testament Israel sought, but they couldn't get there because it was just not in God's plan at that time. Here's an example. If COVID has a spirit of fear connected to it, you are one of those affected by it, the best thing to do is face the problem. The devil knows how to use fear as a weapon against God's people. If he's successful, he uses fear to displace faith in God. You're going backwards. It's a choice we make to either allow fear to exist in our hearts, the mind, or to have faith in God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. We know he uses fear against us." So we fight back with the weapons God gives us. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." There is a specific spirit called fear, but that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about a condition that develops in the heart or the mind. Spirit-filled people are not possessed by any other kind of spirit. We have the Holy Ghost, but we can repress it. We can say, "Oh, I'd rather fear than trust God." So that's when that happens, if we succumb to these oppressing spirits that come our way. But we have weapons that God gives us. If it happens to us, it's because we've drifted away from God, and God's warning us, "Come back, come back." That's what these tongues and interpretation have been all about. He said, God gives us spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. The word for sound mind means to have discipline or self-control. That's part of the fruit of the Spirit, temperance in the King James Version. Soundness of mind, power, and love are automatically imparted to God by God to us when we receive the Holy Ghost. It's part of the package. Power and love. And a sound mind, sound thinking, right thinking, lining up with God thinking. In Matthew 25, this is not in for you to view on the screen, but Matthew 25, read it when you go home. Jesus just got done talking about what's going to happen in the last times, and then and that's chapter 24 of Matthew, and then 25, he starts talking about the 10 virgins. Five wise, five foolish. All the time I've been in the church, 41 plus years, every time I've heard people talk about this, they're talking about the oil is talking about the Holy Ghost. That may or may not be so. I don't know. I really don't know, because I think Jesus leaves it up to us to decide what he's talking about. But when you look at it, it could be that he's talking about fear. Or rather, that a lack of faith. I think that's what he's talking about in Matthew 25. He's talking about faith, because half of them had it running out of them. He just got done talking about prophetically about what's going to happen in the last times. Then he switches over and he starts telling this parable about the five wise and the five foolish. And the foolish, he said, their oil was running out of their lamps. I think it's talking about faith. Their faith was diminished, repressed, leaving them because they weren't nurturing it. So it's something to think about anyway. But the Spirit-filled church is equipped to overcome. The equipping is useless if we allow the flesh to dominate. We have it pretty cushy in America. Things are starting to go south on us real fast, and we need to be ready to walk with God. We're in control over how we participate. I often use Psalm 119:109. It's a scripture that I just refer to a lot because I self-examine a lot. Psalm 119:109, "My soul is continually in my hand. yet do I not forget thy law. I'm in control of what's going on. I'm in control of the end product, the way I turn out. I'm in control of it. God has no magic wand. It's not like Mickey Mouse, you know, the whatever the movie that was, and everything is, you know, sparkly stars and lightning flashes. It's not that way. God has no magic wand. He leaves it up to us to make it. He gives us the power in the Holy Ghost to overcome. Applying worldly cures to spiritual problems does nothing but hide the real issue. And I'm talking here about some people medicate fear by joining support groups or seeing a psychiatrist. Bishop used to say, anybody that sees a psychiatrist ought to have his head examined. But I'm not against support groups. I think they're great. That's why we are encouraged in the Bible to have fellowship with one another. We just got done with our district conference. What a blast, just seeing people you haven't seen for a couple of years and hugging them and loving them and just talking about stuff that, you know, how's things going in your life and how many big bucks did you shoot and all this kind of stuff that guys talk about, but I don't know what the ladies talked about. But nevertheless, it's about fellowship, and we need fellowship with one another. Some people suffering from fear medicate with drugs, alcohol, etc. Some put on a mask of bravado or toughness. Others become monsters and bullies and promoters of fear in their own right. They're trying to hide something. Still others withdraw into themselves or isolate. People need each other. As well as a sound mind, Paul said, God gives us a spirit of power and love. Power in the Holy Ghost. We just got done singing about it. It's imparted to believing people through the Holy Ghost. And I'm gonna elaborate that on that in a while. But a good example of handling fear is found in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. It talks about David. They were in Philistia, and the Philistines kicked them out. And they were on their way home. They were going back to Ziklag, where they had their camp was located. And It must have been a long journey, 2 or 3 or 4 day journey. When they got there, they were fatigued. They were very tired. And they found out that the Amalekites, in their absence, had attacked their camp, burned it, took everything that could be carried away, including their wives and their children. Well, when they arrived there at Ziklag, the people with David were, whoa, what's happened? And fear gripped them. And they had fatigue also. But They were very, very worn out, and his followers blamed David, and he had fear. Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. You think that's not frightening? Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That grabbed me when I read it. And this has been for quite a while ago that I read this. And when I first started thinking about this fear business in the church, and I knew the scripture said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does it mean, Lord? He didn't run away. He didn't blame other people. He didn't let fear control him. He turned to God, and God gave him direction. The Hebrew word translated as encourage means to fasten upon or to seize. David fastened himself to God and he seized or apprehended God's promise. Grab onto God. Fasten yourself to him. You're not letting me go. Remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel? He said, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. He fastened himself to that angel and wrestled him down. And all day, all night, he wrestled with this angel and said, I got to go. It's going to be daylight. Not until you bless me. So he touched the hollow of his thigh and he walked funny after that. Some of us are afflicted and we're going to pray about afflictions. But God might have it for a reason. How many of you think COVID was bad? Come on. How do you know it was bad? I think God's using this as a tool. He's going to bring a harvest of souls and we have to be ready to be part of it. Philippians 2:12, Paul says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. We're required to learn to walk carefully and deliberately with God and acquire the skills we need to maintain right relationship with him. He gives us the opportunity to acquire skills that will give us maintenance tools to walk with God. One of those things is repentance. If I mess up, which is pretty frequent, I go to God and I confess it to him. I say, Lord, help me. I know that you know I'm a fleshly person. I make mistakes like everybody makes mistakes. But go to God. How many times should I forgive my brother, Lord? Seven times? Oh, yeah, wimp. Seven times 70. You can't possibly mess up that many times. God wants to forgive people more than he wants to judge them. So take advantage of it. Some kinds of fear are healthy. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, fear not them which kill the body. Think about it. Guy comes in here with a machine gun and wants to kill people. Don't fear that person. But it's a natural reaction that you have some fear. But you have to overcome that fear. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. They can just kill the body. But your relationship with God will carry you beyond that into eternity. Rather, fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Fearing God is a matter of equations. On one side, we should be afraid of God by about being too casual toward God or of disrespecting his word and treating God with lightness or flippancy. The word that both Paul and Jesus have used describing the word fear, it includes the aspect of being afraid of God. But it's not an incapacitating type of fear. It's a fear that generates an awesomeness in our mind regarding God and a reverence toward him. We fear God. We fear being judged. We fear the repercussions of sin. So we maintain a right relationship with God with the tools he gives us. Repentance being one of them. Prayer is another one. And I'm going to teach you some other things about, and you probably already know them, but it's a matter of putting it all together in one package, I think. After 41 years in the church, I'm just now figuring some things out about how to talk to God or how to approach God. So it's a fear that generates an attitude of respect, intense reverence for God. Sometimes we place faith in the wrong place. Misplaced faith causes us to do foolish things, like not take your prescription medicines, thinking God's going to heal you. Wait till God says he's healed you, then get rid of the medicine. Don't do stupid and throw the medication away and say, I'm just going to trust God because I know he's a healer. Yeah, but it might not be your time. So misplaced faith causes us to do stupid things. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, he said, have faith in God. Having faith in God is about a trust issue. Paul says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't concern yourself with things that seem like they're going wrong, like COVID. It may not be bad. I mean, it is bad, but it may not be bad in another sense. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, how? By prayer and presenting your petitions or supplications to God with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why? Because he's a prayer-answering God. If you have a problem, dump it on him and walk away from it and don't have anxiety about it. That's what he's talking about. Be careful for nothing. Having that care for nothing attitude frees our minds from anxiety. Anxiety is a kissing cousin of fear. Developing a constant God consciousness helps us learn how to distance our emotions from current events and life circumstances. And I know that's not easy to do, to disconnect your emotions from what you see happening, but it's an essential tool that we have. David fastened himself to God and seized God's promises. These are mine. You made them, and I'm claiming them. That's what he's talking about. Distancing from emotion and God consciousness all the time. I'm always thinking about God. I preach some of my best sermons on the lawnmower. Because I'm digging around. I'm looking at the scripture and he's speaking to my mind. It's like, yeah, that's cool. So then I start preaching it to whoever's listening out there in the back 40. It's his word. If we pray it, it's his will. He hears it and answers it. This equals confidence. John, 1 John 5:14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us who have covenant relationship with him. If we know that he hears us, you have to trust that God is hearing your prayer. If it's prayed according to his will. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. God wants to answer your prayer. If you're one of these people affected by a spirit of fear, my advice is pick up the telephone. Don't keep hiding out. Don't keep nurturing fear. Pick up the telephone and call somebody that you trust. Call a close friend, but always call somebody that you know is a spiritually minded person and try to grab onto their fear and they will help you. That's what God's called us to do, is help one another. Put our arms around our brothers and pray for them. Or Dan Powell's having an issue, and I've called him a couple times. Yesterday I called him and we bound the spirit of fear. He admitted he was fearful of this. Well, that's, of course he's fearful. He's going to have 5 bypasses. They're going to split him open like a big watermelon and take and fiddle around with his heart. I had that happen to me last May, 26th. I'm here to tell about it. Hallelujah, because he's in control. Get a hold of somebody and help. Ask for help. Don't sit there and tremble and fear because you're going to lose out all the way around. Now, and I just confessed some of that to you, but I'm on a quest. I need a physical healing in my body, and I'm looking for a solution to my own health issues. And I know God still heals. I'm just not sure sometimes how to go about getting it. But this whole business where I started digging around in the scriptures about this business, he led me to some keys. The first song we sung was talking about keys. There's a key to approaching God and obtaining victory. I have been diagnosed with an immunodeficiency thing, you know, whatever they want to call that. But anyway, it's manifesting itself as psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. Psoriatic arthritis is one of the worst kinds of arthritis. So they say. They say, don't expose yourself to people that are ill because you could get it and it'll be a lot harder for you to recover. So, you know, you're sitting there like this and saying, baloney. I know a God who heals. I know a God who gives peace as part of the package. So I'm going to fasten myself to God, and that's one of the keys that I've obtained. Brother Galen Thompson, what a great, great man of God. March issue, Pentecostal Life magazine, talking about prayer. He had an article in there about how to pray. He made a statement in there that started me thinking again. I do that now and then. Because it was about praying. His article had to do with spiritual warfare and intercessory prayer. But it's all connected. And I'm saying, I'm going to quote him. He says, it's not manipulating God, but aligning with and praying his will into existence. He said, promises are not received, but apprehended. And I thought, okay, I know what apprehended means. If you're a cop and you're chasing a criminal, you grab him by the back of the neck, you've apprehended him. It's the same principle. I called him. I said, Brother Thompson, help me with this. And I told him all about this doctor business. And he said, I don't sense anything in you that's wrong. It's like, wow, good. So that cleared the path psychologically. I can come to God. Let me quote some more from him. Promises are not received but apprehended. He said, unfortunately, too few know and exercise their spiritual authority and power through prayer. We are shortchanging ourselves by not doing it God's way. Disciplining the mind is crucial. One's mind is Satan's primary target. Thus, the mind, demands first-level preparedness. This form of discipline does not entail a struggle to suppress the mind. In other words, by ignoring a condition or circumstances, you don't just bury your head in the sand. but to proactively align one's mind with Christ. You have to make the effort to align yourself with Christ. I can't do it for you, and he won't do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. But you can do it. He gave us the Word of God. Sometimes it looks impossible. The Lord never gave us anything that was not possible to achieve. You can do this. Okay, he goes on. He says, the weapons of our warfare result in victory in the mind. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations, which is perception. Imaginative power of your mind is awesome. You can imagine anything, everything. But sometimes it goes against the grain. It goes against the will of God. You have to cast down wrong perceptions. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. If it's against God, if you have fear, it's against God. It's against the knowledge of God. And he says, bringing into captivity every errant thought to the obedience of Christ. How do you do that? Brother Thompson, he goes on, King James Version often translate the separate Greek words, exousia, which is translated as power, and dunamis as power, singularly a power. Power, Acts 1 and 8 power, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. That's dunamis. We often translate it as dynamite. I don't know about that. I can't see the connection. But nevertheless, dunamis power, we use it. God gave it to us to explode the devil, his lies, to blow them up. Because they're dust anyway, and they'll just fly apart as soon as truth and light are exposed to it. He says, exousia, authority, that's Greek word authority, translated as power in the King James Version. But it really means authority. And dunamis, power. Dunamis power is a strength or ability. It's a force power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You have it. It's in your hand. You possess it. You own it if you have covenant relationship with God through the new birth. So don't neglect it. Power is the strength or ability to do something, while authority is exousia in Greek, is the legal right that we have, because Christians have covenant relationship with God. He gave us his name. We were singing about the power of the name of Jesus. It's not a lie. It's the truth. He has power, the name of Jesus. When I was down there driving on the highway and I couldn't see, Jesus, 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 when I shot off the end of my finger with my crossbow string, my cousin asked me, they're a denominational people, she asked me, because she knew what her husband would have done, she says, what did you say? I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I didn't say cuss, cuss, cuss. Jesus, help me. There's a difference, you know. Okay, so we have covenant relationship with God. We have a legal right to use dunamis and expect results. Adam was given dominion but lost it through sin. Brother Thompson says the church, the body of Christ, is expected to exercise and reclaim dominion in the spiritual world. When we go through a circumstance, we have obtained dominion, and we have authority to use it to help somebody else with a similar issue. Dan Paul, when you get through that surgery, you can minister to somebody else. This principle is about bringing petitions to God and then praying with authority and power, claiming and finally apprehending God's promise. If it takes persistence and endurance, never begging. We don't beg God. It's already a done deal. We're just claiming the promise. We're apprehending it. We're trying to fasten ourselves to God. Ask God how to pray. Sister Vernon gave me another key in all this. She talked about a circumstance where she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and God, nothing happened. And a pastor, wherever she was, a pastor stood up and he says, pray this way. Jesus said, teach us how to pray. But this is a different, not mechanically how to pray, but how do you want me to pray specifically? And the pastor stood up and he says, I want you to pray about this. And he named this spirit. As soon as she named the spirit, the person she'd been praying for was delivered miles and miles away instantly. Because God wants us to know how to pray. We have authority. We have power. We have power in the name of of the Holy Ghost. We have authority in the name of Jesus, and we have dominion. If you conquer an issue, you have dominion over that thing, and you can use it to help somebody else. So promises are not received, but apprehended. If we don't apprehend an answer today, tomorrow, or next week, don't quit. Remember the story Jesus told about the unjust judge, and this woman kept coming, "Avenge me of my enemies." And he said, "I don't fear God or anything else, but she's pestering me. Answer the prayer. Take care of this problem." Maybe, I don't know if that's how God views it sometimes or not. You know, he's got a lot of humor. So ask God about how to pray, not the mechanical nature of it, but the specific direction God wants us to take to address an obstacle in the way. Fear, get out in Jesus' name. Get out of the church now in Jesus' name. I come against you in Jesus' name. Jesus said, John 6:63, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they're spirit, they're life. Defeating fear and obtaining deliverance and healing are accomplished only in prayer. And by the way, don't forget to pray in tongues. Pray, let God use you in the Holy Ghost to pray against stuff. I don't know what I'm praying when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, but he does, and it's a vehicle. Brother Thompson, I told you the story about Brother Thompson going into Africa, and a terror spirit came in the room where they were, and they spent hours praying in the Holy Ghost, and afterwards the Lord said, "You just slew a dragon." I went to him, I said, "How's that happen? I expect there's a lot of tongue talking." He said, "That's all it was. When we prayed in the natural realm," he said, "the spirit came right back. But we kept persisting and prayed against it in the Holy Ghost, and the spirit was crushed and defeated. You slew a dragon." So don't neglect praying in tongues. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, it shall come to pass, and he shall have whatever he saith." So if you've been overtaken with a spirit of fear, and I don't know if you're here or online, but if you've been overtaken with a spirit of fear, go back to the basics and embrace them and apprehend God's promise by grasping God. So if you've never experienced these things, and I'm getting close to the end here, but all this comes through covenant with God. If you're here and you don't have the Holy Ghost or never been baptized for the remission of sins in Jesus' name, we offer that. We can take care of that problem today if you're a guest of ours. Online, if you want to be right with God, there's a way. And the scripture describes it perfectly. Acts 2:37-39. It says, "When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what should we do? We have a problem. We slew our Savior. What should we do? We're sinners. Peter said, "Repent and then be baptized, every one of you." How? "In the name of Jesus Christ." Why? "For the remission of sins." Father, Son, and Holy Ghost doesn't show up in here. Those are titles. The name is what's important. Jesus' name identifies us with the Savior, his blood. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It's a done deal. You will receive it. But the process is easy. If you're at home, you repent. You lift up your hands. You start worshiping God. And when your tongue gets thick and you stutter, let it happen. God wants to fill you with his spirit. The only evidence that's ever given is that people speak in other tongues. We've had, all of us, almost every place, buddy in this building has had that experience. And if you're online, that's how it's done. That's how covenant relationship is established with Jesus Christ. And then the scripture applies to you. And you can use it for your benefit. At the end of this, I'm going to ask people to come up here and pray. And if you don't want to do that, if you're going to sit back there and gab, go out there. We don't need your help. I want this to be a serious thing. I want people to come down here and expect God to do something today. God makes promises, and they're just not promises like I make. "Well, yeah, I'll buy you this toy or tool or whatever," and never do it. If God said it, it's a done deal. He's going to do it. He's going to help us. He promised it. All the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. unto the glory of God by us, Paul said. Okay, Mark 11:17, he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But fear made it a den of thieves. Go in Jesus' name. Out. No longer, you don't have a home here. You don't belong in this place. Fear in Jesus' name, get out. This is not the den of thieves. It's a house of prayer. We're going to prove it. James 5:16, here's another key. Confess your faults one to another. Go to somebody when we're ready to do this that you trust, that has a spiritual relationship with God. Go to people and confess your faults to them. Paul said, and pray for one another that you may be healed. I've been praying for as many of you as I can think of that have issues. Every day I try to pray these prayers because I know that you need help, because I need help. I want to be healed, so I'm praying that you would get healed. in the church in Milwaukee, comes here and preaches. My brain is malfunctioning. Teacher. He said he had he was hurting big time one day, and he said, I couldn't get God to heal me. Nothing was happening. So I was praying. I was praying for all kinds of people, and God healed me right there on the spot. Brother Kurz. Okay, musicians, if you would come. And if you would stand, please. I want to end this with a prayer meeting. I want a healing. I want to be healed. I don't want their medicine. Their medicine is eating up my liver. They said, my liver enzymes are going nutty. They want me to get off of this medicine I'm on and get some really expensive stuff that will take 10% of my income. It's like, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to do that. I know somebody that can make this right. And I'm asking for a healing. And I want you to be prayed for today. And I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. If you don't want to touch somebody or be near somebody, I just do whatever you feel like being comfortable with. But we're going to start out by praying for our pastor. And I want our other pastors and elders to come down here and pray, because this is important, because we're going to conquer this. Brother Roy's got the same kind of issues going on that and he's confessed it over the pulpit, but he's got some heart issues and blood pressure issues. And I've been praying that God will take away the need for medication and surgery to fix this stuff. So I want our elders to come. And then if you have some issues, I want you to come down around the front, and we're going to try and help you. But we're going to pray in the authority of the name of Jesus. We're going to beat this, because God made the promise, and I want it. I want it for everybody here. If you don't feel well, if you don't feel well, then you ought not to be here. But if you have a chronic issue going on in your body, Jesus can take care of it. Right now, Father, in the holy name of Jesus, touch our pastor, oh God. In Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of fear connected with this heart issue. God, anoint my pastor. In the authority of the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I take dominion on behalf of the Church of the Living God over our pastor's conditions. I rebuke them right now. God, minister victory and anointing and healing. You are the living God, and we trust you and believe you. We're apprehending this for our pastor, oh God. We're latching on to you. We're tightening our grip on you, Lord. God, minister to our pastor. Minister great faith. Minister peace in his heart. God, give direction. Anoint my pastor. We have trouble. Perilous times are coming. He needs your wisdom. Anoint him with the wisdom of God. Help him be strong. Led by the Spirit, oh God. Minister your anointing on my pastor right now and all of our pastoral staff. Jesus, minister wisdom and grace and faith. Brother Phil Demas, Sister Rivest, Brother Peter Sandin, Brother Simmons. God, minister your anointing on these pastors. We trust that you are leading them. We're following them. We're latching on to you, oh God. You're the mighty God. Father, give grace and victory and vision and anointing to our bishop, John W. Grant. Father, minister peace in his heart for the loss of a loved one. God, minister healing in his body. Help him, oh God. Anoint us, oh God. Touch our bodies, Lord. Minister grace in Jesus' name. We're not done yet. Those people that are afflicted with the fear, with diminished faith, don't be ashamed. If you have an issue, we're going to pray for it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirit of fear that's come around and brushed up against your people. God, stretch out your hand upon those who have need of healing today. In Jesus' name, I come against every affliction, arthritis, heart issues, diabetes, everything, all manner of sickness and disease. I don't even know all their names. Call their names. Speak to these spirits. Speak to these issues and bind them in Jesus' name. You have authority. You have power. And you have dominion. If you've conquered this, pray for somebody else. In Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name, we claim the promise of your spirit. Minister healing to Brother Hawk, oh God. Minister healing, oh God, in everybody's spirit affected by fear. Minister, oh God. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Be specific when you pray. Lord, teach me how to pray. Be specific in Jesus' name. Some of you are suffering from a sense of irrelevance. 2020 kind of seems like it crushed your ministry. Baloney. You're just as useful to God in an organized or an unorganized situation. In Jesus' name, I come against the spirit of irrelevance. I command it, get out. Father, anybody here that's breathing your air is a relevant person to the kingdom of God. You have relevance. You relate. Brother Grant's talking about doing these small groups. Join one. Add to it. Become a leader in one. In Jesus' name, I come against the spirit of irrelevance. I rebuke its lie. Sister Liddle, if you could put Psalms chapter 40 up. Jesus, help us, oh God. We're believing you, Lord, right now. Touch people's bodies in Jesus' name. Minister faith, oh God. It's your word, your truth. I waited patiently. Pray this with me. I waited patiently for the Lord. Wait patiently. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. I claim this promise. Verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. I was lost and undone in sin. Out of the miry clay, he brought me out of a confusing, rotten mess called sin. He set my feet upon Jesus, the rock. He established my goings. He knows where I'm going. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Verse 3, he hath put a new song in my mouth. I'm happy. Sing to God. Even praise unto our God. Worship him and love him and serve him. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Other people are going to see and be affected by your faith. Verse 4, blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud. The news you watch on television is full of proud, arrogant people lying to you. Nor such as turn aside to lies. Don't listen to these people anymore. They're not telling you the truth. If they are, it's only partial, and they're hiding the important stuff that will turn you against the sin. Verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts which are to us. They cannot be reckoned up in order. I don't even have the ability to count them. They're so great. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. Hallelujah to our God. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you didn't desire. My ears have you opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you've not required. All he wants is you to love him and align with him. Be associated with him and have covenant with him. Go to verse 16. Verse 16. Let all those that seek you rejoice. Come on, church. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Lord be magnified. Let me see you bigger. Verse 17. I'm poor and needy. I'm nothing. Yet the Lord thinks about me. I need you, oh God. You're my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying. Don't waste any time, Lord. Help me out. Oh, my God. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed. God is great. The Bible says His greatness is unsearchable. He's so great, you can't even get there from here. Let's love Him. Jesus, thank you, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, oh God.
Lord, you will never fail. In you,
Praise the Lord, church. There's a fine line between fear and faith. And you have to understand that faith's invisible partner is prayer. Thank you so very much, Brother Rossing, for preaching to us this morning. Appreciate that so very much. I don't know where he disappeared to, but thank you so much. Also remember Bishop, his family this week, my aunt, his sister passing away. And then also we have Wednesday evening service, and then we also have a Good Friday communion prayer service. So we'll be having that Friday evening at 7. We want to invite everyone. We will be taking communion. It'll be a little bit different of a prayer service. Be more of a good Friday Easter theme as we get to our Easter weekend. Also, just on a little bit of a side note, if I can just... This past week we had our district conference, and we have a missionary that was... He stayed here at our church in our parking lot last week. And he was supposed to be him and his wife going into Canada for 2 weeks on deputation, which is where they travel around to different churches and solicit, I guess, partners in missions. And they cannot get into Canada right now. Canada still has the border closed. So they have 2 weeks of kind of downtime, but they do have a motorhome, and they are experiencing some issues with their motorhome. I just feel that God placed them here so we can help them with their need. We have a lot of motorhome folks and camping folks in the church, so I may be making a few calls this week as we get together a punch list to help them with some of their, not anything heavy duty, it's not like we're rebuilding engines and things like that, just some light things that a lot of our missionaries, they purchase campers or motorhomes, they travel for 8-9 months up to 2 years, and then they sell them. So we're just going to help them out. They're a brother or a sister. We're going to help them out. So if you get a phone call, just be willing to give us a little bit of a hand. That's all right. Thank you so very much. For our guests that are here visiting with us, good to see you, all of you here. Good to see all my brothers and sisters. God bless you. Have a blessed week, blessed day. We will see you on Wednesday.